Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to hear from you, Lord, and we pray that you would open our hearts and that you would continue to do so. We thank you for all that you give and all that you continue to provide. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'd like to start with a question. What is the worst feeling you can experience? Now, there's no right answer to this question. Perhaps some thoughts come to mind. For some, it's that feeling of physical pain. No one likes to stub a toe or fall over and scrape a knee or pull a muscle or break a bone. This forms a basic natural cycle because you don't like the feeling of pain. You make sure that when you're living your life, you act in a way that limits that physical pain. You try to prevent it, if you're wise. We learn about the feeling of pain because it's a natural defense mechanism. And in general, we work to make sure we can stop it or fight it. So that's one response to the question. What's another? Another perhaps very common response to that question is the problem of mental pain. Or the pain of the mind. This is a pain that comes in all shapes and sizes, and in many ways. A pain that can be difficult to shake, impossible to ignore. In many ways, it's far worse than physical pain, because as we mentioned, physical pain in general is something we can learn to avoid, where we can prevent. Pain that enters your mind, well, you can't just put a safety helmet on and run and hide. It's present like the air, and sometimes it'll decide to come and take root in your mind. You're almost helpless to stop it. Now, the whole area of the struggle of the human mind is far too large to consider. So today we'll be looking at one specific topic and learning from several passages in God's Word. Our loving God has not left us without answers. Let us turn first to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Our focus will be on that middle verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The topic? Anxiety. It's like a constant beating drum. Tick, 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 right by your ear. Never stopping, never ceasing. Like a heartbeat that you would just wish would go away. Like a mosquito bite. Every now and then, you realize you've been stung. That itch just won't go away, no matter how hard you try to scratch it. I'm sure anyone here who's ever been a student, or is a student, knows the feeling of anxiety all too well. Leading up to exams, those weeks become days, and those days become hours. And no matter how prepared you feel, there's always a feeling, a sense of dread, discomfort. As your brain and your mind can find no cure on its own, and your heart starts to beat, and you have this quiet, constant anxiety, that fear, that doubt. Have I prepared enough? Did I remember to review that thing? Did I remember to learn that thing? What if it comes up in the exam? What if I don't do well enough? What if I fail? What will people think if that happens? I remember taking a uni course a few years back. It was a very difficult course. I wasn't doing very well in it. And to make matters worse, it was a subject where most of the marks, basically how well you do in this course, come at the end in the big final exam. Of course, when the exam was done, I remember thinking through every single question in that exam, every possible place that I could have possibly made a mistake or gotten a mark. And since the marks weren't released for a month, I was thinking about that exam for about a month. I potentially had failed the exam, I could have done so poorly about everything that could have gone wrong. What was meant to be a break in the middle of the year to let you release all that anxiety, well, I held on to it because it grabbed hold of my mind. I was so uncertain, unsure the entire time. What if I failed? Oh, I was locked in this cell of anxiety. And the only release would be when that mark was released, it felt like. It's always interesting looking back now, because so much time has now passed. I barely passed the course, and of course, perhaps in the grand scheme of things, it seems small and unimportant now, that one exam. But when I was in the middle of it, I did remember questioning, why am I like this? Why does this matter so much to me? How long would I have been anxious for it to grasp hold of my mind? If the results came out in 2 months instead of one, would I have been anxious for 2 months instead of one? Why doesn't this constant beat of anxiety just go away? I'm afraid to say, as inexperienced as I am, as little life experience as I have, I don't think that feeling of anxiety goes away just because you no longer have exams to do or you're no longer a student. In fact, the number of things that can cause anxiety only becomes larger and larger and larger as things seem to become more and more important in your life. And the questions life throws at you become bigger and bigger. It only feels like there are more chances for anxiety to take root, grab a hold of your mind. You become anxious about the future, about what's to come, about the decisions you make, about the choices, about your career or your work or your relationships. You become anxious about the present, because how well do I have to do now? What do I need to do to secure my future? Or how can I please the people around me? Or what do I need to do now that I don't realize to make sure I'm safe? And then you get anxious about the past. What did I mess up in the past that means I can't look forward? What didn't I do well enough in that means that I can no longer follow the plans I'd set out for my present? Am I even doing the right thing now? Like a wave at the beach grows and grows until it eventually comes all crashing down. Where does it all come from? Where does this feeling of anxiety originate? Let's turn to a passage in the Bible, a different passage from Matthew 6. In chapter 6, Jesus is speaking in the famous Sermon on the Mount. We'll hear these specific words from him. Chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life more than food? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? There are many things of great value said here, but I'd like to draw our attention to a few key words. This sentence, this verse, starts with the word therefore. Now, when this word is used, we always have to question, what has been said before to warrant, to lead to this therefore? There's a striking statement from Jesus. Do not be anxious about your life. And perhaps these are the very words that Paul was reflecting on when he wrote in Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything. I think it's very instructive to ask here, what has Jesus said before this that leads to this verse? I highly recommend reading the Sermon on the Mount in your free time. We'll turn first to the verse right before. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. When you get a moment to dwell on verse 24, Read it yourself, just so you can think on it. Here, Jesus is talking about what may initially feel or sound like a separate topic, but what I think is all too connected. Jesus challenges those listening. No one can serve two masters, because their minds will always be distracted, their attention taken by one master or the other. You will serve one thing more, you will love one thing more than the other, no matter what it is that you're serving. You cannot serve God and money, because as soon as your focus shifts to building up treasure and money in this earth, in this world, you stop building up treasures in heaven. Now, let's be clear. This isn't a case where some of you look at your wallets and say, okay, I'm fine. There's nothing in here. I don't have to worry about Jesus' command. I'm safe. And it's also not a situation where some of you look at your bank accounts and say, I'm doomed. There's too much in here. I'm doing something terribly wrong. The question Jesus is actually asking is, what do you value? We'll keep moving back in Matthew 6 and keep seeing what has come before. What has Jesus been saying in this passage? Verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart? What is the master of your heart? Where have you built up all your treasures? For what does your heart fear and shake when you feel like you might be losing something? What are the things that are so valuable to you that you grow anxious and afraid when you think you might lose them? Because perhaps that, where your treasures are, is where your heart is also. We'll now take one final step backwards in Matthew 6 and look at a final passage from this chapter. I'll read from verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why have I brought us to this verse? Is it connected to what we've been talking about at all? Certainly. This is one of the key reasons that therefore we were talking about is therefore. You can only say therefore do not be anxious about your life because you have already lifted up your life in prayer to a God who knows your needs. We were talking about anxiety, about laying up treasures in heaven. And now we come to this verse about prayer. I think the connection, the connective tissue, is all here. It is in prayer that our heart is revealed. It is in prayer that God gives us the answer to anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Not prayer as empty phrases or prayer for the purpose of pleasing others or pleasing yourself, but prayer where you bow your head in secret and speak with God, your Father. In prayer, we find out what it is we really value. And in prayer, we determine who's really in control. In verse 8, Jesus says some surprising words. Don't pray with empty phrases, because your Father already knows what you need before you ask Him. So your question might be, why ask? It's because, not because we're trying to change God, but it's because in prayer we reveal our own heart. We pray to ask God to change us. We pray that our heart may be aligned, may be called into line with His heart, that we may value the same thing as the God that we place our trust in. And as a consequence, prayer is the answer to the question of anxiety. We look to this prayer and these first few lines of the prayer that Jesus gives to His disciples to pray. First comes glorious praise, His authority, His goodness. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In this start of the prayer, God the Father is glorified. His name is set apart. He is given the authority He deserves. And what does Jesus tell us God finds valuable? What is it that God values? That His kingdom come and His will be done. To praise and to glorify God is to serve God and to seek His kingdom and His will. This is what it means to build up treasures in heaven. And in prayer, we make that very clear, that that is what we want our hearts to be aligned with as well. What is established in all prayers, first and foremost, is our heart before God. What follows is then the next few verses. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What does God tell us to ask for? Requests are made to God, yet these are not vague, blind requests. These are made on the firmest foundation, on solid ground. It comes from a place of confidence that our God already knows our needs before we ask Him. We stand on that foundation, that we want, in those first verses, our heart to align with God's heart, to seek His kingdom, to follow His will, that His name is hallowed and set apart. We want His will to be done. And on that foundation, we ask for God's provision in all things. We ask and we trust in full confidence that this God who is set apart, who is powerful, who is almighty, who knows our needs already, who knows us personally, will provide. We trust that God will provide. Give us this day our daily bread. When we have our eyes fixed on heavenly things, on the things of heaven, we ask with confidence for our God to provide our earthly needs. We remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 16. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Someone can lay up their treasures on earth and gain the whole world if they have served the wrong master the entire time. They had the whole picture backwards. We ask in confidence for God's provision, for God to provide, because we trust that it is His to provide, that all things belong to Him. And when we trust in God, when we place our faith in Him, when we align our hearts with Him, He knows our needs before we even ask. And He is helping us lay up treasures in heaven instead of on earth. These last two verses. And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgiveness, guidance, deliverance, all things that we can never gain on our own, from the bread we eat to the sins we bring to God for forgiveness. In prayer, we are learning the lesson of total and complete dependence in a God who is in control, in Him alone. We learn to value what He values, and we remember who's in control. With these thoughts in mind, return to that big question at hand. What is the Christian answer to the question of anxiety? Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? We return to Jesus' words with two questions. What do you value? Who is in control? I think perhaps it is on the ground of these two questions that the entire question of anxiety lies. This first question, what do you value? I think it's very difficult to be anxious about something that you don't value. I can tell you all about an exciting sports game that just happened, or how nervous I was watching that tennis or that football game. But if you're not a sports fan, those emotions may mean absolutely nothing to you. Now, the person talking about it, me, might seem really excited about it, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you don't care about what I'm talking about, I can't force you to form emotions on your own. Maybe I'm a good storyteller and you feel the emotion that way, but so too with emotions and so too with anxiety. It's really difficult to get anxious or excited or emotional about something you don't really care about, or something that doesn't really matter to you. It's this very question that Jesus challenges us with. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, let's be very clear. What is not being said is that there is no value to food or clothing. After all, in the Lord's Prayer that we just discussed, we are asked to ask God for that very thing, our daily bread. I don't think Jesus would tell us to ask for something that is without value. What is being questioned is how much do you value these things? And how do you value these things? Because remember, lay up your treasures not on earth, but in heaven. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If food and clothing are the only master that you serve, we cannot also serve God. We cannot serve two masters. We lose this life that we very much try to gain by serving food and clothing, or even this life we live. Let's continue reading from this passage. Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? With these words from Jesus, we arrive at that second question. Who is in control? The birds in the air are fed. The flowers in the fields are clothed. Do you believe that the God who feeds and clothes them can also feed and clothe you? Do you believe that this God will provide? I think this, perhaps, is the question that is at the heart of anxiety. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Your Father in heaven knows your needs. Do you have faith? Do you trust that he will provide? Let's take a chance now to turn back to these questions we've been asking. What are the things that you value? What are the things you cannot afford to lose? What do you think is in control in your life, then what do you think is out of your control? We are so blessed, most of us here, to be in situations where worry and anxiety about food and clothing hardly ever appear because we have such an abundance. And if our heart is in the right place, we can rightly thank our God that this is the blessing he has placed in our life, that he so abundantly provides daily for our meals, that unlike many that have gone before, we are not even tempted sometimes to be anxious about our food and clothing. We praise him because he is in control and he provides. Yet alongside this same sentiment, the same idea, comes a very serious danger, which we can so easily slip into. We may start to forget who is actually in control when we start to forget who is providing. We might even start to think that because I am so richly provided in food and clothing, it isn't actually God that provides. Maybe I am the one that's in control. We may be in danger just of thinking to forget to ask God to provide our daily bread because we assume we take for granted what we have actually been given. What we have been given turns to what we deserve, and what we deserve turns into what we have earned. So easily, we can slip into the idea that I'm in control because I've earned it. And so we arrive at one of the first solutions the world has come up with, the problem of anxiety. Fight for control. If you have a problem, if you have something that makes you anxious, well, fight so that it doesn't make you anxious anymore. After all, the only reason we get anxious is because there are too many things that are out of our control. I don't think I would be as stressed about this assignment or this exam if I'd already finished it, or even less, if for the assignment I knew all my answers were right. If I knew that, why would I be anxious for it? And not be so stressed about work. If I knew exactly how to handle every single situation, every unexpected thing that comes up, I know how to deal with it. I don't have any reason to be anxious about it. I might not be anxious about my relationships with the people around me if I knew exactly what to say and when to say it in every situation. I might not be anxious about the future if I could control exactly what's going to happen in my future. For many people, the answer to anxiety is to try and take control. Even if I don't know my future, I'll work as hard as I can to secure it. If I'm uncertain about money, I'll earn as much as I can so that I never have to worry about it. If I'm anxious about relationships, I'll make myself a better person. And in fighting this battle to gain control, you've already lost the war. As you build up treasures on earth, as you seek to build your own kingdom upon your own foundations, you stop seeking the kingdom of God. And you were never in control anyway. There's a parable in Luke chapter 12 about a rich man who says, "So much wealth. Let me tear down my current barn, all these barns that I'm housing my wealth in already. Let me build an even bigger barn so I can store all this wealth and treasure that I have already." And he says to himself, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." When we try to wrestle for control in these lives we live, we forget who's really in control. We grow anxious because uncertainty scares us. I mean, I feel like that's the reason why so many people in their youth fear the dark. It's because it's the fear of the things we can't see. The fear of the things we can't know. And it's something we can't fight on our own. When we recognize that we are out of control, that we can't control anything, we turn to a God who is in control. We read these words from Philippians 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This verse, I think, beautifully captures our weakness and God's strength. Do not be anxious about anything, not by your own power or ability, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In true humility, we recognize that nothing is in our control. Only then can we place our trust instead in the God who knows and gives for our every need, who blesses us with life and breath, who is the master of tomorrow, so that we can entrust all our worries, all our anxieties with him. Some of you might say, if God is in control and he knows my needs, what do I even need to do? Does this mean I can just sit back? If God's in control, well, let him take the reins, take care of everything. If I find anything that causes me anxiety, well, why can't I just run and hide? What can I do anyway? Here we find a second worldly solution to the question of anxiety. I personally know this one pretty well. We run and we hide and we hope that it won't catch us. Why not live lives without anxiety by reducing the things that cause us anxiety? Some might even go beyond that. If I can just detach myself, separate myself from the things of the world, I can stop caring about all these things that I care so much about, then nothing can cause me anxiety. You see, we've established that you can only really get anxious about things that matter to you, things that you care about. So if nothing matters to you, nothing has value or meaning to you, then what can even cause you anxiety? Sadly, the unfortunate reality of this path is that while you try to run from your anxieties, you are also running from the truth. We can run from our problems, from the things that cause us stress and anxiety, but they don't just go away. And if there's something in our lives that is actually of value, that is actually worth living for, that is genuinely valuable, why run and hide from them? When our Father, God our Father, richly provides for our every need. He provides us comfort. He provides us answers. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? If life is more than just surviving, our actions do indeed matter. We have been called to a higher purpose, something far more valuable, something worth valuing. Verse 33 of Matthew 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If instead of worrying about the things of the world, the feeling and the weight of anxiety, the weight of uncertainty, the weight of all the things that we don't know, all the things we can't control, we are called instead into the responsibility of looking forward and seeking God's kingdom. We are brought into God's plans. When we seek God's kingdom, our anxiety can instead be turned and trained into trust. And our troubles are chance to trust and remember who's really in control. Who really am I trusting? Who really can I send all my thanks and praise? Seeing that God is in control doesn't mean that we no longer have a purpose, or that we don't have things to seek, or we don't have things to do. But instead, we have the chance now to seek the kingdom of God in all that we do boldly, confidently, as something that has real and true value. When we seek God's kingdom, we can praise him that he is providing for our every need, that every trouble, every trial, every challenge is a chance for God to reveal himself, to be glorified, to be praised. Everything that we come across in our lives is a chance to learn and trust and pray to our God, who knows our needs before we even ask, and praise him with confidence that he will provide. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What an answer to the question of anxiety. Anxiety grows from the things we care about, the things we love, everything that we care for, everything that matters. Then take everything, things that you're anxious about, things that you aren't anxious about, things that you may be anxious about in the future. Place everything in prayer before a God who knows you and knows your needs. We grow anxious because there's so much out of our control. Nothing we can control. Nothing we can predict. So let the God who is in total control, let the God who knows our requests before we even ask him, knows our needs before we even ask for them, let him know all things in prayer so that we can admit, humbly say, bow down and say, you are sovereign and you are in control. And we do it all with thanksgiving because we have earned nothing of our own. All that we have had, all that we will have, all good things are a gift from God. It's a gift from a God who provides. Prayer is incomplete. It's not finished without this level of thanksgiving. Without letting the God who has provided all things know with a thankful heart how thankful you are that he provides. That the God who sustains our every breath receive all thanks and praise. Let the God who has given his own son for our salvation, salvation from sin, salvation from the grave, know that we do not take this salvation, this life we have been given, for granted. Do not take the immeasurable gift of the sacrifice of his son. This isn't for granted. But we thank him. We thank the God who provides all things. What a joy that we can know when God works, he works with total victory in mind, not just temporary relief. Without worries and anxieties, God doesn't just hold them at bay, doesn't just stop them at the door. God wins victory by transforming our everyday troubles and worries into a chance for genuine thanksgiving and praise. What a joy that even as he knows our needs, God calls us still to pray so that all our worries and burdens we can lay at his feet. To the one who is in control, we pray. In prayer, we can learn to align our thoughts with his, to seek his kingdom, to bring before him all thanks and praise. We do not pray to a God who is far away. We do not pray to a God who has no power. We do not pray to a God who is not good. We do not pray to a God who isn't in control. We pray to a God who knows and who hears. He says to us, these anxieties of yours, these troubles of yours, I know them well. I know them personally. Trust in me. Let your anxieties be turned to a confidence in a God who is near and who is listening and who provides. So therefore, do not pray without confidence or with fear. Pray with a boldness to a God that is near. We are praying to a God who speaks. So don't pray like you don't expect an answer. Or even worse, don't pray without wanting to hear an answer. Don't pray to hear the sound of your own voice, or blindly as if into a void. Listen closely. We pray not because God doesn't know our needs, but because he knows our needs, and we need to hear his response. Patiently, humbly, have a confidence in a God that responds. Perhaps not in a way you expect, but He certainly responds because he knows your needs and he provides. Don't come brashly as if you know all the answers already or deserve to be heard, but come with humility to listen to his response, the almighty sovereign God. And even if it isn't what you expect, listen, learn, and obey. And patiently wait so that when he responds, you can send him all your praise and thanks as your response to his words. All those things in your life, whatever stage you're at, home, at school, at work, all the things that you are anxious about, are you bringing them to the Lord with the confidence that he will respond to you, that he will answer? Or do you bring it as if to a powerless God who doesn't know you, who doesn't care, who can't help you? Do you pray already expecting a certain answer? Or do you pray with an intention of listening? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Are you searching for peace, for rest from your troubled, anxious heart, by fighting or by running? You'll never find peace that way. You'll never find peace in yourself. Look to the God that provides and listen. There is a prayer that every Christian must pray. And perhaps a lesson can be learnt from that very prayer. For all our prayers that we pray. It is a prayer, that first prayer, that says to God, I am a sinner. By the death and resurrection of your Son, save me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. A simple prayer. A truly Christian prayer. A prayer of a troubled heart. A prayer that can find no peace of its own. A prayer that sees a problem that we can't solve. A problem of sin. A problem of death. A prayer that admits, humbly, personally, that God, I am not in control. I can never be in control. I can never save myself. A prayer that trusts God to respond. A prayer in a God that is powerful and good and merciful. A prayer that trusts God will provide. A prayer that believes and knows that God can save us. God can save me. A prayer that trusts in a victory already won, that in Jesus, victory, sin, and death are already defeated. A prayer that waits and trusts and listens confidently, trusting in a God who is in control, who has won a victory in a battle we could never win alone, who listens, who responds, and who gloriously provides. A God who saves. This is the God to whom we send all praise and thanks. God has provided us a certain and a sure hope in Christ, in Jesus. An eternal hope, victory over sin, victory over death. A sure hope that God has already won the ultimate victory. A victory that promises even more to come when the whole picture is gloriously complete and revealed and we come to see our God face to face. Imagine that, our God who loves us so much that he sacrifices his Son, Jesus on the cross, for us. It is this God that we will see one day. Do you trust this God to provide for you? When we pray to our God, is this the God you are praying to? Pray not in a confidence in ourselves, but in a confidence in this God. Trust that he will calm your troubled heart. Trust that he is speaking. He is there to comfort. And he is ready to hear and listen. And don't be paralyzed by what you believe God won't do, but confidently act to seek his kingdom and his will and his glory. Trust in a God who knows. Trust in a God who is in control. He will provide for your needs. So act like it. Don't be afraid to faithfully follow. Don't be anxious that what you haven't done
what you could never do out of the fear of its consequences. If you act in faith in him, seeking his kingdom and glory, God will provide. And if the steps are wrong, trust that God will correct and guide your steps all the way. He has done so much already. We are no longer slaves to sin. We have a promise of eternity on our side. We have a promise of joy, true joy, both now and in the eternity to come. He is a God that will wipe away every tear. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. It is to this God we bring our troubles and anxieties with confidence that as long as we listen and we learn and we hear and we respond, those bitter anxieties will be transformed into sweet and glorious praise and thanksgiving to our Lord who provides. God has provided an answer to the question of anxiety. He asks us, what is important to you? Ask yourself that question now too. What is important to you? And ask this subsequent question. Who do you think is in control? Do you think that the God who created the universe and sustains your every breath is in control? Your burdens, your anxieties, bring them to him. Bring everything to him in prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known. He will provide. Seek his kingdom with confidence. You're in safe hands. He will guard your soul. Let's pray to close. Lord, we thank you that you are sovereign, you are good, you are in control. And we pray that you would align our hearts with yours, that we would hear and we would listen, that every trouble and worry and anxiety we lay before your feet and we trust in you. For we thank you that you are a God who provides. And let's lay everything to you with a confidence that you do provide. In Jesus' precious name, amen.